Have you ever noticed Jesus has a way of hunting us down when he wants to do business with us? We've been making our way through the various appearances of Jesus to his disciples following the resurrection. And we have another before us today. Jesus wanted to do business with the Apostle Peter. Took him for a little walk down the beach. We'll be reading the account of that in John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. And let's pray together before we read God's Word. Lord, it's your Word inspired to bring faith and joy to people across the ages and inspired to bring the same to us in ways particular to us this day. We're eager to see how you'll do that, and we pray in the name of the Savior. Amen. John 21, beginning at verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Can the leopard change its spots? Well, that's what we ask. But what we mean is, do people ever change? I mean, really change? Do those that are stunted in some area of life ever get unstuck and grow up? Or do those who are still acting out of past wounds ever get well and have the freedom to change? How about those who are stuck in compulsive patterns? Can someone who is trapped in sexual compulsions be delivered? Can an addict ever stay clean? Or how about the twists that come deep into the heart? Can the habitual liar ever learn to live and tell the truth? Can racists really be delivered from deep scorn of others that rests in their hearts? Well, the world tells us no, and it cites all kinds of evidence, from psychological studies to recidivism rates, and a lot of the time our own experience tells us the same thing, because time and again we have struggled to change some habit or break some addiction, and we have tripped and fallen. And it's not just us. We see other people, even other followers of Jesus, get stuck in some deeply entrenched pattern of sin or immaturity or woundedness. And so we ask. We talk about change. Can it happen? Can people really change for the better? Can we change? Can the leopard change its spots? Well, no, it cannot, not on its own. But with Jesus, even leopard spots change. And we can take Peter as an example. Think of some of the encounters that Peter had with Jesus. Right off the bat, Jesus gave Simon, son of John, that was his given name, the nickname Peter, and then proceeded to build into him the meaning of that nickname, that he would make this vacillating Simon, son of John, far more rock-like as Peter. There was the time that Jesus was walking on the water, and he bid Peter to come and walk on the water toward him, and Peter did. And it totally rearranged Peter's sense of what was possible when Jesus was on the scene. There was the time on the Mount when Jesus suddenly took on His heavenly appearance, and Peter's mind was stretched to the breaking point, having been encountered directly by the glory of God. Peter had some absolutely astonishing encounters with Jesus, and to encounter Jesus was to be changed every time. He could even change those parts of the being that were indelibly marked, the leopard spots. You see, Jesus knew that Peter still needed another encounter that day as he appeared after his resurrection. Because a few days before, on the night before his crucifixion, Jesus had told Peter that Peter would later that very night deny Jesus three times. And Peter protested, "No way, Lord, there's no way this could ever happen." But sure enough, it did. And we read the painful account in the gospel of how Peter denied Jesus over and over and over, even with a curse. And then realizing what he had done, Peter went out and collapsed in a pool of tears. Jesus knew that this failure in Peter's life could not go unaddressed, because the leopard spots that marked Peter through that failure would have crippled his spirit for the rest of his life had not Jesus been ready to address him directly about them. So Jesus had that in mind as he invited Peter to take that walk with him down the beach. Peter needed one more and a particular kind of encounter. Think of your own encounters with the Lord. For many of us, the first encounter of any great significance was at our baptisms. This is the picture of our grandson Peter's baptism a couple weeks ago. We got to be up in Alexandria and see that. Someday, he'll be told about this, and he'll be trying to wrap his mind around how the Lord had encountered him before he could even name the name of Jesus, and it'll be a very rich awareness. Some of you have had that experience yourselves. Or maybe you were baptized at a later age where you remember exactly what happened in that encounter with the Lord. For others of you, when you think back about the times when you've been encountered significantly by the Lord, you remember a particular time when a sermon pierced deeply. Maybe it was because of the preacher. It may have been in spite of the preacher. But in that moment, the Lord took His word and made it dive deep within, and you left different from that encounter. We hear about those who offer foxhole prayers. Maybe it was so for you. Away from home, maybe even in combat, in a place of fear, you called upon the Lord and He encountered you, and you were different. It may have been at a very painful turn in life. It may have been in a courtroom at the end of a marriage when nothing was going right. It may have been in a hospital room when you were the patient or you were the one waiting with a loved one who was sick. Or it may have been on a retreat when finally you stepped out of the rushed pace of life and into the quiet. And in that quiet place, Jesus tracked you down. And you remember that day. Such encounters with the Lord change who we are. They change the way we see things. But for all of us, there's another kind of encounter that's absolutely essential for our wellness and for our growth. Because like Peter, we all need to take a walk down the beach to deal with our greatest failures. Here's how it happened with Peter. He and the others had decided to go up to the Sea of Galilee and go fishing. They're trying to figure out, what do we do in this next season of life? And they've not yet understood Jesus' commission to them, and so they did what they knew to do. They went fishing. And they'd been on an overnight fishing trip on the lake, and there, as they came to the shore, was Jesus, the risen Lord, waiting for them. He had prepared breakfast for them, And they had another experience of the overflowing net where he told them where to cast their net. And my goodness, what a rich moment that was already, having breakfast with Jesus and the risen Lord now. But there was more. That was when Jesus beckoned Peter to take that walk with him down the beach. And when Peter heard his full name, after having been called Peter by Jesus for several years now, he heard Jesus address him, Simon, son of John. So Peter knew something was up. And he knew all too well how he had failed Jesus, the threefold denial, not many evenings before. And he must have been anticipating some sort of harsh judgment coming upon him. But he misjudged the encounter because it was not about judgment. It was about the fullness of forgiveness, the kind of forgiveness that makes possible real change. And it worked like this. Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Peter answered him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus repeated the question a second time and repeated it a third time. And don't you know that each time Peter was squirming? Any encounter with the risen Lord must have been astonishing, but Jesus had this special agenda where he was bringing home to Peter the forgiveness he so greatly needed. And because there were three denials, there was that threefold repetition of the question, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter was keenly aware that three times in his denial, he had in essence denied his love for the Lord. But each time when Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, the forgiveness set in a little more deeply. The heartfelt shame faded more and more, which is precisely what Jesus intended when he went to encounter Peter. That Peter would experience full correction and full healing, full forgiveness, so that he could have a full and fresh start. Jesus has not changed his plan. He still has a way of finding us when the time is right for next steps with him. And he does so in lots of ways. One may be at the moment in the worship service when it becomes a deeply personal encounter for us because we sense his presence there with us. Or when the teaching moment takes God's word written and makes it come alive and sinks it deep into our hearts. Or when in the midst of a tragic turn in life, you see that the Lord somehow still is able to work good from this. Or when you come to his table, as we do each Sunday in worship, and you're met by this one who knows exactly what you need most. And you're faced again with the mystery of his grace. All of these are important kinds of encounters. But know this, the Lord knows our hearts, and he knows when we need the kind of encounter that he had with Peter that morning. When we need his forgiving love deep inside to go to the very depths of who we are. When he addresses us in a way appropriate to the day with these kind of threefold, do you love me questions. That's the encounter that sets the stage for genuine change. Change of the leopard spots kind of change. And it puts Jesus' approach in stark contrast to cheap fix pop psychology approaches, which tell us that any guilt or regret should be avoided because it might ruin our self-image. If Jesus had believed that, here's what he would have said to Peter. He would have said, Peter, let's just pretend that Thursday night never happened. I'm not going to drag all that up again. It's going to make you feel badly about yourself if I do. But the Lord doesn't work that way. He respected Peter too much to indulge him in his brokenness. And it's the same with you. He's not going to patronize you and say to you that you cannot deal with your failures. So I'm just going to let you off the hook. No. The Lord knows that you can and must deal with your failures and do so directly with Him. Plus, the Lord is not into doing shabby, surface-only, duct tape kinds of patch jobs. If He's going to repair you, He's going to repair you down deep so that your self-esteem can again rise from a sense of well-being of who you are in Him. He's going to do it right. He will not gloss over the guilt in our lives. He will not merely indulge us in our failures. He knows that anything less than full acknowledgement of our failures and straight up repentance and true and full forgiveness, none of that has the capacity to clean out the poison that remains inside. All it does is bury that poison more deeply so that our failures continue to wreak havoc in our lives and disable us. So don't expect Jesus to indulge you. He will track you down, and He'll invite you to take that little walk with Him down the beach. And there He will speak the truth to you very directly. Not brutally, but directly. Because His goal is to bring you to full repentance and full forgiveness and full healing for the deep wounds that remain in your heart caused by your own failures. It's the Jesus encounter we both dread and yet long for. This is what we most need. And it's the way that the Lord actually prompts the kind of change of the magnitude of changing the leopard spots in our lives. Some years ago, Sarah and I got to attend our daughter Lindsay's college graduation, and we got to hear Chuck Colson speak as he addressed the graduates. Do you remember Chuck Colson? One of President Nixon's men who ended up being convicted of crimes and served prison time for his role in Watergate. Through that experience, he was encountered by the Lord, who began changing Colson's spots in some very significant ways. When he got out of prison, he felt called to launch a ministry to the very ones that he'd had as colleagues in prison, the one whose lives have been written off as hopeless by larger society, repeat offenders. And that ministry grew to a nationwide ministry called Prison Fellowship. And some of you may have participated in one of the chapters of that, visiting prisoners in the jails here in Virginia. After a few years of this ministry, Prison Fellowship got permission to run a whole unit within the Texas prison system. The Jester 2 unit of the state prison was given over to Prison Fellowship. I mean, the state had their guards there, but they ran it according to the Prison Fellowship pattern. And so that meant that in that particular unit of the prison, instead of getting up for morning calisthenics, the prisoners got up for morning Bible study. And instead of every evening television, there was every evening Bible study. And they established a kind of atmosphere where people's lives began to change. Now, no one got assigned to this unit. They had to volunteer to be in it. But once they were there, they began to encounter the forgiving love of Jesus with an institutional expression that put it continually before them. And so these who had the kind of leopard spots in their lives that supposedly could not change began to change. Colson reported that as he dropped in on one of the classes there when he visited a drug and alcohol abuse prevention class, he heard one of the inmates say, he said, "I've been in 3 therapy programs and they just don't work. I'm not interested in therapy anymore. I'm interested in transformation." And the room echoed with amens. They all had hope that genuine transformation could happen. Each Sunday, we present ourselves for that kind of transformation when we come to worship and are encountered by the Lord. We have that moment, that walk down the beach with Jesus moment, when we offer a prayer of confession. And in that prayer, we're not glossing over our failures or the patterns of sin that have brought harm to us and people we love. In the presence of our risen Lord, we confess those failures. We acknowledge our sin. We don't hide for the sake of ego. We don't deny our failings just because it's awkward. We have a walk with Jesus, and He encounters us and presses us with the power of His forgiveness. And that Sunday morning pattern in worship can be the pattern that we have as part of our everyday prayer life, where we are directly encountered with the forgiving love of Jesus as we confess to Him the ongoing failings in our lives and the places of pain. Colson reported that the most breathtaking moment of his visit to the Jester 2 unit came during a graduation ceremony for those who had completed 18 months of the program there. One of the graduates was a guy named Ron Flowers, and as he crossed the stage, an older woman, Mrs. Washington, ran to the front and wrapped her arms around him and declared, "This young man is my adopted son." Of course, Colson did not know the backstory to this, but he saw the guards and some of the prisoners with tears running down their cheeks. And so afterwards, he asked what was going on. And he learned that Ron was behind bars for murdering Mrs. Washington's daughter, and that for 15 years, Ron had insisted that he was innocent. But there, finally transferred into that Jester 2 unit, he had learned to confess his wrongs. And for the first time, he admitted to the crime and prayed that he could be forgiven by God and by the victim's family. On her side, Mrs. Washington had written all these angry letters to the parole board over the years opposing Ron's parole. But the same week that he confessed, strangely enough, the Lord, working in her spirit, brought her to the place where she had this overwhelming sense that it was time to forgive. And so the next day, she wrote the parole board that she was no longer opposed to his parole. And then she tracked him down so that she could express forgiveness. And she was there on the day when he graduated from that program. Only the one who could forgive Peter's kind of denial and heal his heart could have changed both Ron's murderous heart and Mrs. Washington's broken heart. No one else can reach so deeply within. Those kinds of leopard spots don't change just because we want them to change. It takes life-changing encounter with Jesus, which Ron had, which Mrs. Washington had. Real change happened in their lives. Deep change. Healing change. Through encounter with Jesus. So, where are you with that today? Are you ready? You ready for a walk down the beach where the risen Lord wants to deal with you about lingering issues in your heart that leave you with a spiritual limp or worse? Your part in a broken marriage, or addressing you about sexual liaisons somewhere along the line, or holding you responsible for addiction, or reminding you of a theft, maybe years ago, or pointing out how you assassinated the character of your rival. He knows what's unresolved in our hearts and how it cripples us. And in His kindness, a severe kindness at points, He brings it to us so that we can receive the forgiveness He would give. So what episode would He deal with you about today? Peter thought he was going fishing. You thought you were just going to church. Jesus has a way of finding us. It's not about condemnation. It's about forgiveness going deeply and having full effect and changing the spots that everyone said and that we thought ourselves would never change. The Lord doesn't see it that way. And He's risen from the dead. I believe we need to see it the way He sees it. Now let's pray. Lord, we give thanks for Your goodness. We thank You for the many ways You have touched our lives. And in particular, we thank You today for the way You persist in touching our lives in the most deeply healing ways so that Your forgiveness sinks deeply and has full impact. We pray that You would do so this day with each of us. Lord, call forth from within an awareness of what You want to deal with us each about so that we can walk a little more free, a lot more whole, and reflecting Your goodness and grace. And we pray in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.